Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, that's had a rattle in.
There's a rattle in my chest. I'm not well, Bob.
Are you not?
Do you want to ask us about my health?
No.
You bastard.
I can tell what it is already. You've been hanging on too much around the bins and that, and it's got into your throat.
Maybe I have.
Shall we get this episode off to what I'm going to call a banger, right?
You got something planned, have you?
Well, I'm thinking of sounds from Newcastle train station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. All
to
right,
bring
then.
People into our environment.
To sort of, like, piss off our Geordie audience.
No, I don't think...
Alienate them, no, is the word I'm looking for.
The actual truth of it is, Andrew, is that Geordies, people from the northeast, don't mind you having a go at them, because they're bigger than that. You know, it's not like self-pity cities, you know what I mean?
Oh, such as...
What?
Did you say self-pity cities?
Yeah, there is a such a thing.
Is what, like Lisbon?
Lisbon! Exactly.
Oh, got you out of that one. Go on, the Newcastle train station, let's hear it.
We're at Newcastle train station. You can imagine the sweet, sweet smell of the pies bubbling away. You know, on the stoves and that.
I wish I was home already.
Oh, mate, will a Buffy can have blue drink for one nipper, or should I buy a shitload of Haribo to dissolve on the journey? Aye, Kevin, divin' spit in your sister's hair, you little bastard. If you must spit, do it in your pocket like your mum. Will passenger Pat Lady Phillips please report to the info desk? Your cousin Brenda has dropped off your eczema ointment. Passengers to Hartlepools are reminded that the front and rear carriages are presently full of some kind of gunk and are not suitable for travel of any kind. And I've got one final one.
Right.
If any passenger has lost an Alsatian called Keegan, please make your way to the taxi rank, where Flat Roof Gary has it tethered to his wife's pram. So that's a nice way to start.
I enjoyed that because I'm from Sunderland, and that's mainly Newcastle people. Yeah, you've leered into there.
Let's be honest, Middlesbrough, Sunderland, we are all under the shadow of the main line station that is Newcastle.
Okay, you know fair enough. I mean? Extra point there for the use of Hartlepools.
Hartlepools, yeah.
Yep.
So, do you want to name, Andy?
Go on, then, what's my choices?
Can I just say to the people at home, I'm cracking on. One, because Andrew's full of fucking disease.
I'm going to cough right the way through this one.
I want to get out of this cubicle. And two, because I've got about an hour and 20 minutes to get the Fulham match. So,
right.
Let's crack on.
Go on, then.
Waterbomb Wallace.
Right.
He sells, in usual these modern times, we're not in the Second World War era anymore, he sells bouncing little motorised water bombs.
Oh, nice.
Right? And he sells them to the gypsies in return for tax planning advice from the Gypsy King.
Right.
And he also, nice detail, he drives a car which he's painted to look like a walnut.
Okay.
That's Waterbomb Wallace. The coin.
Oh.
Lives in a hostel for idiots. Yeah. he has a special... powerful, mystical, ancient coin, right? It's so powerful that you can use it to lever the top bottle tops off,
yeah?
Or scrape at blistered putty on the window if it's flaking a bit, yeah?
Wow, human coin.
Yeah, special coin. His left arm, Andrew, is so long, I can't even tell you how long it is. Nick Sanford, come on. Business like.
What was the third choice?
I'm Nick Sanford.
Yeah.
Right? Financial advisor, but he's a member of his local silly society.
Oh.
Do you know those? It's like a middle class thing.
Fannying about.
We are the silly.
Yeah.
You know the vibe.
Socks with garters.
Yeah.
Trousers rolled up.
That's the fellas. They do daft dances and songs to raise money for outfits
for themselves.
He lives with an Arab fella.
Oh,
got Winston's disease. I don't know what. So that might be a bit risky.
I'm not that keen on him.
Yeah?
Can I be the first one?
Why aren't you keen on him? Because of Winston's disease.
The silliness.
No, the silliness.
I can't be arsed with that forced jollity stuff.
The silly society. Watch our family walk.
No, thank you.
So you're going to be the coin, aren't you?
No, the Wallace, what was he called?
Waterbum Wallace?
Yeah, he sounds like a steady kind of guy. That's okay. What I need at the minute. How about yourself? There's two choices for you for your names this week.
Go on.
You can be Mike the Pipes Piper.
I like Mike.
51, divorced, saving up for his second typewriter coming to the country because the first one didn't take. Mike's all about the pipes. He calls himself a freelance pipe consultant. He'll help you out when it comes to drain pipes, central heating pipes, pan pipes, bag pipes, and smoking pipes.
Yeah.
But he's advisory only, doesn't get his hands dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Got in Asbo last year for harassing some workmen when they were replacing the gas main in his street. That's Mike the Pipes Piper. Second choice is Joss Angeles.
Yeah.
Loves all things American.
Right.
He lives on Twinkie bars and Hershey bars and Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
He only listens to Hall & Oates and the Eagles. He's got an American pit bull, which he's not allowed to have because it's banned, so it has to stay in the main bedroom in his flat, and he has the box room.
Okay.
There you go, Mike the Pipes Piper or Joss Angeles.
Well, it's just not even like a problem for me because I'm all about
it's pipes. It's the pipes, isn't it? Yeah, I knew you would be.
Thank you. I'm just back from America, you know.
Oh, yeah. Is that where you've been?
I've been in Palm Springs, listening to Eagle FM.
Right.
Hired a Chevy.
Right.
Tahoe or something. Chevrolet Tahoe, like a truck. I go out there and pretend I'm American.
And yet you didn't want to be Joss Angeles because you've been living that life for the last month.
Yeah, it didn't appeal to me. I'm
sick of it.
Sorry, it does appeal to me, but, I mean, pipes are right at the top with chocolate sweets.
Well, there's so many to choose from as well, isn't there?
So, yeah, I'm just...
Right.
What do you think of me tan? Do you like me tan?
It's camouflaged against your really, really light beige... I don't know, is it a tunic that you're wearing?
Well, it's ladies and gentlemen at home, it's a buttonless, he's got a zip, it's concealed zip cardigan. In the sleeves, as is always my problem, are a bit long for me because I've got a big belly,
yep.
short arms,
and a tiny head.
A nice package, that, isn't it? You know what I mean? Wife's questions, Andrew.
Yes, go for it.
I sounded a bit like Brian Clough then. Wife's questions, Andrew.
Mm.
Do you know Brian Clough was just up from up the road of me in Grove Hill? Used to empty the bins at his old house.
You did?
Yeah, council house. Anyway,
did you go through them and have a rummage?
Nah, I mean, what, for like some sort of haunted memory of Clough's
just to
rummage.
See what he was up to, yeah?
I imagine Cloughy didn't throw much out, you know what I mean? Like a sweet wrapper he said to his kid, fold that up 8 times,
yeah.
It'll make a useful... little tool for prizing open drain covers.
I reckon he just burnt stuff in the garden.
You reckon? Swearing.
Yeah.
Burn, you bastard. Burn, I
You've got to have an outlet, haven't you, for that sort of thing.
Do you know what I found out when I was in America, Andrew?
Go on, tell me.
I'd like to take this on board. I didn't. Nah, I said where. Because it certainly has hit home with me, is that, you know this American IPA hoppy beer that I drink every night? Yeah. It gives you tits.
I read that.
Did you read that?
Yeah. And it's got something in it, doesn't it, that gives you tits?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just one of these, like, buzz, clickbait things.
Right. It's legit. It's got science behind it.
I'm getting tits.
Are you getting some?
And it might be because I sit on my ass watching box sets, eating cake.
Drinking IPA. Yeah.
But it might be that IPA, because it's every night, you know.
Well.
So I'll put it out there. Maybe we should all be going a bit easy on that hot.
Perhaps you could measure them. And, you know, from time to time, just give us an update on your cup size.
I'll find out if there's a way I can test the volume.
Right.
I think it's volume matter in it rather than length.
Yeah.
I think I could get a tattoo, like, of the king of all crabs, yeah?
Yeah.
Just above, and measure from its eye to the centre of my nipple.
I and watch that, for the spread.
Yeah. Anyway, people don't want to hear this. They want to hear the wife's question.
No, true.
Hello, says the wife.
Hello, Bob's wife.
Andy, does Sunderland Council operate a recycling scheme, or do you just put all your rubbish in the family pram and dump it round the back of the bookies?
Yes, there is recycling in Sunderland. It comes once a month.
Once a
every
month.
Every street has one We had to skip, basically, and we put all our milk bottles in it.
I suppose metal-wise, what you're looking at in Sunderland, you've got your hot dog tins, so the tin from the hot dog.
Yeah, the hot dog tins.
Your luncheon meat tins.
Yes, the luncheon meat tins, yeah.
I can't think of anything else metal that you would...
Tinned Hazlitt.
I don't think you can get in the tin. That's one of the beauties of Hazlitt, you've got to hunt it down. No, really, it's like a... You know,
it's an animal.
No, it's not like an animal, but you've got to say today, like in a Bear Grylls way... Bear Grylls Island, he'd say, these are not going to survive unless they find whatever, a cairn or something. It's like, you've got to say to yourself, I'm not going to survive this next week in Sunderland without Hazlitt.
But you're saying you've got to get it relatively fresh. You can't get it in a tin and keep it in a tin for like
somewhere that still sells it.
I tweeted you a picture the other week of some from Asda. My Asda sells it.
Asda sells Hazlitt.
Up the Asda, yeah.
Andrew, yes, says Bob, the wife.
Yes,
is it Bob's true?
Wife.
That the tradition in Sunderland when asking a lass to marry you is A, to pop the ring inside a Johnny bag so she gets a lovely surprise when she pulls it off. B, take her to KFC and leave the ring in the bottom of the bucket. C, feed the ring into your Alsatian to dump it so she will find it next time she sunbathes in the backyard. Yeah? D, attach it to her Friday night saveloy. E, wrap it in streaky Aldi bacon. Any of those a tradition up there? Or what would you do, Andrew?
Saveloy.
You'd lob it in your wife's
Saveloy, yeah, because there's a sort of an element of arousal to that as well, isn't there? It's a kind of seduction.
Because of the shape of the saveloy.
Because of the shape of the saveloy, yes.
Are there any trees left in Sunderland, or have they all been chopped down to make dog kennels?
We don't have dog kennels.
What, do you just turn an old pram upside down?
They just let them loose. They sleep where they lie. Very good, thank
Anyone
you.
I said too much. What do you want?
I've got questions as well for you from blood relatives of mine.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Bob, as a millionaire in your luxurious home in Market Harborough, is your walk-in wardrobe big enough to ride a motorbike around in?
I don't have a walk-in wardrobe. I have what's called...
Vespa?
I have what's called a dressing room. And it's
bigger than a walk-in wardrobe.
It would be big enough to make one 180-degree pedal on a BMX.
Not like a Harley Davidson.
Nah, fuck that.
All right, okay. Have you and the other millionaires of Market Harborough had all of your pound coins melted down and made into one massive coin, with each of you comparing the size of your massive coin at the garden parties you so frequently frequent?
Yes.
Good answer, honest. Bob, I see that it's harvest festival time soon.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. And I notice you've been showing off about your crops on your blog. How do you respond to the allegations that the real harvesting that goes on is the harvesting of your slaves' organs and blood, which you sell on the dark web?
No comment. Do you hear me?
All right.
I've had a lovely letter, it's just to prove that...
To what?
An email, sorry. It proves that people in the professional football circles are listening to the podcast.
Oh, God.
I've had a letter from the lovely Adam Liliana.
Have you now?
From Liverpool.
Okay.
So I thought I'd read it out.
Please do.
It's a nice letter. Hello there, Athletico Mince boys. I just wanted to write and say how fucking chuffed I was that you mentioned my summer makeup routine the other week. That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's been listening. It made me wonder if you or any of your readers have tried Charlotte Tilbury's film star bronzer. I tell you, it's a fucking miracle. Superb for warming up your complexion. I apply it to hollows in my cheek. It's well fucking swanky, he says. I finish off with her Swish and Pop blusher. Shade is called Love Glow. Just detail that on the apple of your cheek. I tell you, lads, you got to fucking try it. In fact, I fucking insist. Going to send you some samples. Can't wait to hear what you think. Signed, Adam fucking Liliana. So, what a nice little letter.
He likes us, and we're going to get some free stuff out of it.
Some Swish Pop blusher or something. And some film star bronzer.
Beautiful. We're going to share that, are we?
Liverpool lads look after themselves, don't they?
They do. Are we going to get to share that? Or are you going to keep it off yourself?
I'll report back to you.
All right, okay.
I mean, if you put fucking blusher on, you'd look like that clown out of the It film, you know what I mean? My boy went to see the It film, shat himself. So there you go, must be a good one.
Hey, you know Brendan Foster?
What, the runner?
The runner and the commentator.
Geordie Runner.
Do you want to hear a rumour about him?
Well, don't get me fucking sued, Andrew.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
He's a spitter.
He's a what?
Spitter.
What, when he's in running?
He spits.
Well, I'd
say he's a spitter. I don't know where. I've never seen him spit during a race. It's probably afterwards, but definitely a spitter.
Well, let's look. I'm getting quite close to Peter Beardsley at the moment. I might ask him about his spit.
All right.
Because Peter's a biter, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a biter. Yeah.
So the paths might not have crossed.
What's the latest for Peter Beardsley?
Oh, he's actually, funnily enough, he features in the Gangs of EPL. Do you want me to do it?
Go on, we might as well. Gangs of the EPL.
L. So I went to Wembley to see Spurs versus Burnley. It's a few weeks back.
Yep.
But it's good what happens. I couldn't get my VIP pass, right, so I had to fork out. Do you know how much it was for a hospitality seat, the dinner and watch the match?
For Spurs. At Wembley, I'd be guessing about £400.
It's £500 for two tickets.
Jesus.
For Burnley, it's a category like 9 match. it's like called the Bobby Moore Lounge. Got there, got some patty. Yeah, and a glass of champagne on arrival, right. Which is a nice way to be greeted, isn't it?
A patty? What, like a...
Pate. So that's a nice way to be greeted, Andy, with like crushed formed meat and a fizzy
drink. It needs to be for £400, yeah, but yeah. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. So there's some legends floating about. Pat Jennings was a good one to spot. He's still got that lovely wavy hair. You know?
It's like a helmet, isn't it?
Yeah, and soft-spoken voice. But I did notice, Andy, that as he was floating around, he was lifting credit cards. And bags, I promise you. I was with Paul Whitehouse.
Right.
And we took our after-match table. You get a little supper afterwards, right? And next to us on the table is Dara O'Brien and Peter Beardsley. Yeah? So that's nice, isn't it? Paul says, "Hello, Peter. Lovely to meet you. How you doing?" Peter says, since we moved in, that nearest knocking at night, it seems to be coming from the loft, but as soon as I go out and investigate, it stops." Paul, you know, he doesn't know what Peter's like. He says, "Oh, sorry, Peter, I didn't quite catch that." Peter says, "Fellow's Albanian or something like that. Certainly not a local lad. You know, he does funny cooking and that. Wears a waistcoat with ducks on it. He spends hours in the back garden with a pickaxe. You know, it's my guess he's trying to open up a fissure or something like that. You know, it's Kimmeridge limestone where I am. A lot of people think it's clear." Paul looks really confused.
Oh, man.
As I step in, I say, "Oh, wow, Peter, so chuffed for you. Anyway, how are you, Dara?" And Dara says, "A lot poorer after paying for this." "What was posh in here?" "I went to the toilet and the bog roll is as soft as Russell Grant's poodle." "The tiling is as blue as Len Goodman's budgie." "And after you're done, a man blows the drips off your trumpet." Then Peter sees a chance to step in, right? So he goes, "I wonder if I was to drain my cold water tank, I would conceal myself in there early in the morning and wait for knocking to start at night. Obviously, I'd have to take some basics with me, tin and luncheon meat, maybe a banana, a fork and flask or something." Well, just then, we hear an announcement, and it's like an MC introducing Man of the Match to the VIP guest.
Right.
On a little podium. Is that true?
I don't doubt you.
Man of the Match comes out. So, MC, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to present to you the AIA, or something, Man of the Match.
Yeah.
Please welcome Mr. Harry Kane."
Hey.
Sure enough, there he is. Well, we see his chin first, right, reflected in the mirrored columns, yeah?
Yeah.
And then the man himself emerges.
Wow.
So, like, the MC does a little interview. It was one each, the match. He says, and Burnley equalised really late.
Right, at the end, yeah.
Yeah. "So, Harry, not really the result that you wanted. You can times that by 10 and pop a sausage roll on top. The result was very frustrating, and conceding in injury time was most upsetting. The whole dressing room's here like Fluffy Buffy, especially Debbie, who was going to see the scary clown film tonight, but is now too frizzled to bother."
MC says, they obviously came with a plan to defend and hit you on the break.
Yeah, well, that's what Sean Dish always does. It's very upsetting. He's a right boots McSpoiler. He stands there like he's head of games and shouts with a very gravelly voice. Little Henry Winks was on the bench and started crying. He thought Mr. Dish was a monster and his beard was blood around his mouth from eating a raw cockerel.
So what do you think about this Wembley curse nonsense?
It is definitely for real. And me and my gang are going to do something about it. So thank you for your sports trophy. I've got to go now.
And off he went. Right. Quick. Yeah. Like Fluffery Buffered, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, like a chemistry teacher, like retreating from an experiment to a surfer.
Yeah.
You're quite quickly.
Gone.
Like, gone. Well, as you know, Andy, I'm a burger nosy bastard.
Yes.
I like to say it like that. Well, as you know, Andy, I'm a burger nosy bastard. And so I thought it was worth hanging about. I knew Pat Jennings would have a pass to the players' lounge, so I went up to him and I said, look, I know you've been...
Is it one or one that he'd lifted?
Well, you just don't know of it.
Aye, true.
So I thought, he's... I'll approach him, he'll have a pass or something. So I said, I know you've been nicking credit cards, so take me through the players area and I'll keep my mouth shut, all yeah. right? Worked a treat. He popped his AAA, means access all areas,
okay.
pass, his lanyard around my neck, then off he scuttled, looking yeah. a bit sheepish, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Because you're onto him.
So that's me in the players area. Fuck, this is long, I'm sorry. I go straight to the toilets because I know that's where the action's going to be. Right, I settle down in a cubicle with a pint of Guinness and a roast chicken, a whole roast chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's a nice toilet meal, isn't it, Andy?
Obviously eating with your hands, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And there's bog roll there to wipe your hands in that.
True.
And you can put the bones down the pot. Sure enough. Andy, after about 5 minutes, in come the White Hearts, Debbie, Eric and Harry. But they've got little Harry Winks with them.
Oh.
So that's interesting, isn't it?
Junior member.
So Harry says, right, we've got to do something about this shitty curse. Eric says, feel our ferocious heat. Harry says, yes, yes, very good, Eric, but I was actually speaking. Debbie says, yeah, Eric, that was a very inappropriate interruption. I'm shaky enough at the moment without you adding your twopenny sixpence to an already fractious atmosphere. Harry, thank you, Debbie. Now, I have been looking into how you can banish or transfer a curse. Winks says, hold on. So I should give my voice, shouldn't I? Hold on, is that why you invited me? Watch out, he's from Berkshire or something. Hold on.
Sheldon.
Winks is going to have to be fucking Sheldon. Hold on. Is that why you invited me? So you could slit a virgin's throat?
Don't be silly, Billy Winksky. You're here as an observer only and to hold the bowl of salt.
And he gives Harry a bowl of salt. Debbie.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut, Winksy, or we'll rub soft hand towels into your face, then you'll feel like a Scoot's muck downpipe.
Winksy says, so lads. Harry.
We had to make a magic mirror.
Eric says, is that a bit like a magic... marker?
No, Eric. A magic marker is like a commercially available felt tip pen, renowned for long life and constant ink flow, not for lifting fucking curses. Debbie said, fuck's sake, Eric, who are you? Boots McDreary, the daft lad from Jerkoff Avenue in Wembley. All right, says Harry, let's not get flustered and hot under our collars. We've got a curse to lift. Debs, give me your makeup mirror. So Debbie gets out his makeup mirror, hands it to Harry. It's nice, it's a Gucci one, right? Got a mother of pearl frame, a Fitbit attached to the back.
Ooh.
And a wireless shoe locator as well.
Cool.
So that's nice for Debbie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't find his shoes. So now, a magic mirror works on the principle that anything reflected in it, including hostile intent, will be bounced back to the sender. For it to work, you need to know the identity of the person sending the bad mojo bojo. And I think we do, don't we, Debbie and Eric together? Kyle Walker.
Oh.
And the mat, yeah, because there's trouble there, isn't there? Correctamundo, my sweet Spurs boys. So first thing is we must consecrate the mirror by doing a special chant.
Harry holds up the words he's written them. And they all chant, we charge this mirror with the power of the ancients, guardians of the earth, wind and fire. Charge this mirror with your energies and make this mirror sacred. Then Harry says, fuck's sake, I forgot to sprinkle black pepper on it. How fucking boots McDozie he have me. So Harry opens up some pepper sachets from his pocket, pours them on the mirror. They repeat the chant. Now, we must place the mirror upright in a bowl of salt. Give us the bowl, Tinky Winky. So they place the mirror in the bowl. Now we need to put a photo of Walker opposite the mirror in the bowl. Deb says, I've got a selfie of him on my phone, smiling because he's got his phone to work. So they put the phone opposite the mirror, stood up in the salt, yeah, to reflect the negative energy back to him.
Right.
And Harry does another chant while Winky holds the bowl. Oh, Carl, you disagreeable, nasty bitch. Take back the curse on our beloved pitch. Just at that moment, Sean Dish bursts into the room. All right, lads. Oh, sorry, it didn't mean to interrupt you. Are we breaking Winksy in, as it were? Oh, shit, it's the monster! He's going to fucking rape me! And with that, Winksy drops the ball, smashing the mirror, and he runs out of the bogs. Yeah? Sean Dish goes over at the sink, yeah, puts the plug in and starts having a piss in it. Hey, thanks for the point, by the way, lads. Harry, excuse me if I sound disrespectful, Mr. Dish, but we and the fans found your tactics very frustrating and more than a tad upsetting. It was like playing against 11 Boots McBoredoms. Shane finishes his piss, right, scoops some out in his cupped hands and takes a slurp. Fuck off, Harry. You lot are too soft. What you lot need to do is eat more dark meat pies and start drinking your own piss. Keep a turf mower. And Dash leaves. Well, says Harry, that's made me quite wackery McCrackers. What a rude and base man. Then he notices that Debbie is sobbing. What's up, Debs? Is you hurting? That man frightened me with his bare voice. And Winkles has broken the mirror, which means the curse may not be lifted away. And to top it all with a ham sandwich and a snack of your choice, my Fitbit is broken. I'm totally and completely piffy-whiffled. Harry, Debbie, the chant may have sustained for long enough to lift the curse. Wait till the next match before you piffle up. You got to believe. Feel the ferocious heat. And they all say, feel the ferocious heat. Little postscript.
Right.
It's a long way and I get a taxi back to Charing Cross, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? About to pay. I've got no fucking credit card.
Pat Jennings, he's done ya.
He's lifted it when he gave me the hand.
He's done ya. You knob.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I regret to inform you, Bob, that I've done another
song. Don't tell me you've done a song.
I've done a song.
Oh,
it's kind of a public information rap, I think, this
okay,
one.
Here we go.
Have you been reading about all these sex robots that are coming out these days?
I haven't, Andrew.
Well,
if I saw a headline that said sex robot, I wouldn't read it.
They're very much a thing, so I've done a song to kind of warn us about that, and here we go.
Are not. Knackers full of wire, knockers full of data, a sexual trap that is coming from the future. Oh, oh know. Beware their threat. When you need to have it off, you might pull down their pants and get a fucking big shock. Sex robots, the ultimate sin. Sex robots, it's like banging a bin. Sex robots, don't give in. Unless you happen to be a cropper.
Oh, don't know what happened at the end there.
Something quite incredible happened to me this week.
What's that then?
And you're going to have to help me out with this, Andy.
Okay.
Read some of the words for me so I can make it authentic. So do you want to pop round here?
Right, okay.
Because there's just a couple of times you have to help me out.
I'll just nip in and share your mic. Okay, go on.
Right, it's Barry Ormond, right?
Yep.
You were, oh, fuck off. No, go back where you
no,
were.
No, I've just coughed out of the way. You're all right.
Yeah, well, it's got nowhere to go, has it?
Oh, man.
So I was looking...
It's not an aeroplane we're on.
I was looking for a flat... No, oh, man.
It's all right.
I was looking for a flat with my son, right? Because he's stupid, he needs a flat. And I was on a trip...
He's stupid?
He's a stupid...
Sorry.
He's stupid? I was looking for a flat for my son. I'm on the train to Guildford, yeah? And bloke, a bit up from us, has an earpiece in his... and he's on his phone, right? Yeah. So this is what I hear, Andrew.
Right.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Did I leave a Rooney? Can you believe it? Yeah. Hilario. She was punching above her weight anyway. Yeah. Got a new job. Going great. Yeah, the whole office is in L-O-V-E with me. Yeah, we should meet up. Maybe play a round of foot golf. Anyway, yeah, ciao. Ciao plus Bella equals I'm amazing, right? It's fucking Barry Oldman. Barry Homeowner.
On
the same train, right? So me and my son had a bit of a giggle and we get off to the town centre to go to estate agents. And he's just a bit up ahead of us and he goes into an estate agents. We look in the window of the estate agents. There's a couple of flats there look half decent, Andy, you know? So we go in. And he's there working at the estate agents.
Right.
And he beckons us over to his desk.
Yep.
So if you can just say yeah about every 3 seconds, right, Andy, okay, during this speech right here. So he beckons us over. I say, hello there. I wonder if you could help me.
Yep.
My son starts at the university in a couple of weeks, and I was wondering if you would allow students in your properties if I acted as a guarantor. Yep. Just looking for something cheap and cheerful. A studio, maybe, or one bed. Furnished. Not too long a journey from the campus.
Yep.
Thank you. Now we can fuck off over there. Oh, Jesus. Then he falls silent and he looks at us both. He says, either of you ever been in an electric car driven by a rally driver? We both say no. Well, get up, come with me. You're about to jumpstart your thrill meters. So we follow him outside, a little white hatchback with the name of the estate agents on it, you know, electric car. So we get in, we drive along. He says, yeah, I got the perfect place for your son. It's a Peacharoonie. You can barely hear the engine in this, can you? It's pure electric, not hybrid. Don't go hybrid like I did, I always say. You can lose a fistful of greenery. In depreciation. Can you feel the torque? Yeah. Max power is instantly available because there are actually no gears. Yeah. Fear the gear, that's what the species say, and I'm made of pure speed. So I expect your son will want a shag pad, decent wireless sound system, kitchen island coffee maker, electric kettle, dimmer switches. That's what I had at his age, and I got sex most weekends. I tell you what, after a night with me, they look like roadkill. Right? So he went on and on, and and we arrived at this little purpose-built block. You have to come over again, Andy.
Oh, okay.
So my son's going to ask some questions, and you ask me son's questions, right?
Right, okay.
So he shows us this one-bedroom, ground-floor flat. Barry says, take a look around the bitch, it won't hurt you. So my son starts asking some questions.
How does your son talk?
Is anyone living here?
Is anyone living here at the moment?
I don't know.
Has it got central heating?
I don't know.
We'll have to pay council tax?
I don't know.
Can I get public transport to uni from here?
I don't know.
Has it got broadband?
I don't know.
Does it come furnished?
Do you know, I don't know.
How much is the rent?
I don't know. So do you want to take it?
And I say, well, be honest, mate, it's nice, but we need a bit more information. We got to at least know how much the rent is. He says, oh, yeah, 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 I see, yeah. All about the money, is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like my wife. She did a Leveroni, you know. Fucking headcase. You've had a brief window into the Barry Phenonema anyway. Would you leave me? Would you leave me? Well, would you? Would you ever think for a single moment of flipping a Leveroni on a bloke like me? And I say, look, I hardly know you, mate. I can't really say. Look, we've got a few more to see in this area. I lied. We'd best get going. So we leave. I phoned the estate agent, explained we were shown the flat, liked it, but Barry didn't have much info for us. And a nice lady sorted us out, and I'm sure you'll be pleased, Andy, because we did end up renting the flat.
Brilliant.
That's nice, isn't it?
A nice happy ending.
And it was a nice day with my son, and we got the train home. Guess what we hear? A few seats behind us.
Yep. Homeowner?
Yep. Got the sack, the old heap. I know, can you believe it? Best fucking salesman in Europe. And they've let me slip through their ungrateful fingers. Yup. No, can't come, I'm afraid. It's 50 days since the Leveroni, so I'm having a night in with that
Lasagna!
Going to listen to some of our favourite ballads on the Sonos multi-room sound station. Yup. Ciao, Bella! So, ciao plus Bella means I love you. Then he puts his headphones on, and you know, you can sometimes hear. We can hear he's listening to Nielsen. I can't live if I'm without you. So.
Lovely song, though.
Do you think that was a story was a bit like something from the series The Wire?
Not really.
No, you didn't?
No.
Aye, aye, Lenny Biscuits here. I went down the bowling alley the other day with me nephew, Jackson. Got to the end of the game, and then I went to the bogs, and I changed it to an XXXL tracksuit top. I goes back in, and I slyly shoved the bowling ball into me tracksuit top, and I heads towards the desk to hand over the bowling shoes. Then I slaps down £300, pushed the ball up out the top of me tracksuit so the lass behind the desk could see it, and I says, I could have nicked it, but I did it. Then I was gone. Gone!
Lenny Biscuits there. Do you want to know what Mark Lawrenson's been up to?
Yeah, go on, nice.
Because I've got some info there. Mark's been at a bit of a loose end since the...
We haven't seen much of him, have we?
Well, since the football season started, he hasn't been on much because there's not much punditry going round. Because Chris Sutton's come along and hoovered up most of the miserable bastard demographic that used to be Mark's territory. So anyway, Mark's been getting under Barbara's feet a bit around the house, not even keeping his DIY up to speed. He's just been sitting around...
It's not like Mark.
..reading his Bigfoot books and chewing his fingernails most of the day. So Barbara's packed him off down to the local tech because there's some kind of retrain and introductory day on, and she's seen that one of the taster courses that's on is about working for training standards, which is something he's always been interested in, one of his many passions. So she sends him off with some jam sandwiches in a Tupperware box for his lunch. And Mark heads down to the tech.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't interrupt. Do you happen to know if the top of the box said Mark or Loro?
You know, I don't know.
Written on it.
It probably just said Mark Lawrenson.
Mark Lawrenson.
So anyway, he gets down to the tech, and the talk is being delivered by Dominic Littlewood.
I like Tom.
The little fella from BBC One's Fake Britain show.
Yeah.
Probably Britain's top trade and standards expert. So Dom does a bit of an overview of what trading standards is all about, what you're going to expect if you take it on as a career. He runs through some examples of good and bad practice.
Yeah.
He passes around his magnifying glass so that everyone gets to have a go and hold it. So Dom says, here's some of the names of fake brands that you need to look out for. Tommy Hilfiger, Disney, and Gucci, but without the little dot on the top of the letter I. Does anyone want to come up on the stage and have a go at identifying some fake goods with me? Mark's been enthused by what he's heard so far. Goes up and says, I think I'd love to do that, yes. So Dom says, lovely, come on, son. Mark gets up on the stage in front of everyone. First thing Dom shows him is one of them Louboutin high heel shoes. You know, the expensive ones. It's got the red sole. Very expensive high heels. And Dom says, have a look at that, Mark. Is it fake? or is it legit? Mark has a close look at it. Oh, I think it might be fake, Dom. The stitching looks a little bit uneven on the inside of the shoe. Dom says, sorry, Mark, it's actually legit. One thing he did miss was that I've written twat on the sole of the shoe in Timex. But that was just one of what I like to call Dom's decoys. Here's another item. Gets out an iPhone, hands it to Mark. What do you think, Mark? Fake or legit? Mark says, oh, I think this one's definitely legit, Dom. I've got an iPhone 4 myself and this feels exactly the same as it. No, Mark, no, sorry. Look a little bit closer. You see that green acid dripping out the bottom of it? That's the sign of a fake. So Mark's like, I've got a lot to learn here, haven't I? Last one, Mark, for you. It's the Burberry handbag from Burberry. What do you reckon?
Hold on. Can you say from Burberry again?
From Burberry. What do you reckon? Is it fake or is it legit? Mark examines it closely. Doesn't want to get this one wrong, really taking his time over it. He opens up the bag and a lot of wasps fly out of the bag.
She did.
Land on Dom's bald head. Dom's screaming in agony, get them off me bald head! So Mark thinks fast, rips his shirt open, right? Mark rips his shirt open, grabs his Tupperware box, pulls out his jam sandwiches and smears the jam all over his tits.
Gotcha.
The wasps, they all home in on his tits. He's basically saved Dom Littlewood's life.
Beautiful.
And as a result of that, he gets an A+ on the taste course. Yeah. And the upshot is that once the skin grafts on his tits are healed, Mark's going to be doing 2 afternoons a week with the Trade and Standards Unit and his local council. Mark's happy, Barbara's happy, and Chris Sutton can sleep easy at night. Did that remind you of the film Driver?
Is it the one that's got a good-looking fellow who drives really fast?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
I never saw it, but that feels like an exciting film to me. And
right.
Once those wasps came out, my heart was pounding.
So,
yeah?
Yeah, it does.
Like Driver.
Ah, thanks, Bob.
So, one of the days when I was in South Africa, I was filming in a set that's like it's a replica. You know the film Zulu?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's got sandbags on the outside wall and a little hut and all that. I'm playing a British soldier waiting for an attack from the Zulus. All the other soldiers were just like white South African extras, you know. So that's a nice pool of people to choose extras from, isn't it, Andy?
Yes,
yeah. White South Africans. I'm in the classic period costume. Can you imagine it? Red jacket, beige like sort of jodhpur things,
right?
And black boots, like
smart.
No, smart, yeah. And I'm holding a beer because that's what I was advertising. I'm crouching behind the sandbag wall with a little plump bloke called Richard De Freyers.
Oh,
that's a nice name, isn't it?
No.
Richard De Freyers. So on action, we have to crouch right down, and every time we do it, as I'm crouching, the camera's going past on a track, I feel what it feels like a finger stroke the outside of me stretched jodhpurs next to my anus.
Sorry,
after
carry on.
The final take. I'm a bit, you know, fed up. So I turn around and I say, excuse me, Richard, but I'm sorry, what do you think you're doing? And he says to you, different people, what are you talking about? I say, Are you stroking my trousers just adjacent to my anus? He says, nah, not me, boy. No, that wasn't wrong. South Africa, probably a cheeky snake or rodent. Fucking menace, they are, and they love an anus. I said, oh, right, it's local. Right, that would explain it. I'm really sorry, mate. So, look, here, have this cold, nice cold beer, you know, my mistake and all that. Well, after that, we get on quite well and we arrange to meet for breakfast the next morning. Because he's got a boat on the marina, and the marina kept on beautiful. He says he'll do breakfast for me there. He says, tells me the boat, it's a blue boat with big bright orange flag. So I'm up early the next day, and I make my way to the marina. Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
There's a scruffy blue boat with their orange flag. I reckon that's it. There's a bloke on the deck. I ask, I say, is this Richard De Freyers boat?
Yeah.
And he nods, beckons me on board. He opens the door to the galley and points for me to go down.
Right.
Now, he hasn't said a word, right? Now, Andy, do you think that he hasn't said a word because it's, like, ominous or because I struggle with the accent?
I'm not that bothered.
OK. Anyway, as I step down, boom, he pushes me from behind and I fall down the stairs, yeah? I hurt my shoulder.
All right.
Bang my shoulder. Okay. That's not a very nice place to hurt yourself,
no,
is it?
No, on the body.
No, so then he says, take your fucking strides off and push your butt up towards the moon! Well, what can I do, Andy? I hurt my shoulder. So I'm in no position to fight back. So I take my trousers off and I push my arse up towards the ceiling as best I can.
Yeah.
Then he says, take this cup of flannel and place it in your anus. I say, okay, that's fair enough. I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to fill your cavity with Lucky Grahams and full-fat milk.
But he did it South African, yeah.
So in this state of, like, shock that I'm in, I start... So, sorry, I should explain. He says, fill your cavity with Lucky Grahams.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely shocked, because I never thought for 1 minute you could get Lucky Grahams in Cape Town.
Is Lucky Grahams even a thing?
So, is it Lucky Grahams?
It's Lucky Charms, isn't it?
Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams and Lucky Charms.
Golden Grahams.
Because Joss Angeles eats Lucky Charms.
Well, it's Golden Grahams. I wouldn't have thought you could get them in Cape Town.
I remember... Different culture, isn't it?
Yeah, so in the state of shock, I start feeding the thin end, obviously, of the funnel into my arse.
Obviously, yeah.
When suddenly the galley doors burst open and there's Richard Defrias with a taser.
Whoa.
Yeah? Leave your old man alone and fuck off more about you wayward prick! So the bloke puts his hands up, scuttles round Richard and leaves the boat. I say, oh, thank you, Richard. What? Why did he want to put cereal into my ass? He says, he's part of the breakfast and buggery movement. Just wild kids looking for a way to liven up the morning meal. I say, so he would have eaten it. He would have eaten it literally out of my cavity. Yeah, with a fucking ladle. Gangbangers, you've got to love them. And that's what happened to me this awful day.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Do you have dreams about that?
Do you know, I blanked out South Africa till we started doing this, but I think it's good for me to get rid of all this shit. Peter Beardsley sent me a song.
Peter Beardsley's done a song?
Yeah, I don't know what his intention is.
Right.
He sent me the song.
Okay.
And I could play that.
Right.
It's a bit sad, but...
It'll be a nice way to end with a bit of... Pathos.
That's a bit miserable, yeah.
So. Why not?
So, ciao.
Ciao, see you soon. And we're going to leave.
Bella equals I'm moving on.
Okay.
See ya.
And it's Peter Beardsley.
So, these days, a lot of folk didn't remember me so well, like, but, for example, for the last 5 years, I've been going up the bus depot most days. Very colourful up there, and there's lots of banter between the crew and mechanics and the lasses in the office. I sit on the lower wall, like outside, and I can hear most of what's going on through the big double doors. Keeps me company while I eat my chicken wrap. But faces have changed now. Most of the guys my age have moved on, really. Sometimes when they see me, they shut the doors rather than invite me in. Years ago, they used to let me heat my chicken wrap up in the microwave, but that's stopped now. I mean, it's okay cold. I do my weekly shop down at Asda. Sliced white, baked beans, margarine, ambrosia cream rice, evaporated milk, bunch of bananas, tinned ham for a sandwich, eggs for hard-boiled egg, rich tea biscuits, some ice cream for the weekend, Then I just grab a load of ready meals. The wife doesn't like to cook these days since, she rejected Jesus. I wake up early nearly every day, go downstairs, watch some of the TV shows I used to watch with me boy when he was young, and I've noticed I pick my nails quite a lot these days. The downpipe on the shed's leaking at one of the joints. I got a new sofa the other day, corduroy material, grey. The wife has took the corner facing the TV, so I generally just sit on a little stool that me boy used when he had his supper in front of the telly, I go down me local most nights. The bar that I always drink in has been turned into a restaurant, but there's still 4 or 5 seats at the actual bar. It's okay, but as soon as the restaurant fills up, it feels like I'm getting in a way, so I drink up and head home. Did I tell you that ever since the neighbour moved in that near, this knocking at night seems to be coming from the loft, but as soon as I go to investigate, it seems to stop. You know that pub I mentioned, like, me boy had his first drink in that pub. I haven't seen him now for, what, about 5 months. But he always phones his mum on Sundays, and I get to say hello, you know, at the end of the call. That's it, really.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.